I want to bring a message today, and it is, what is our message? What is the gospel preachers? What is it that a preacher is supposed to preach? You know, what is a preacher supposed to preach? What is his message? What is his message? What is his word? What is the thing that he's going to preach? It says down here in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your sake, service for Jesus' sake." So that's what a man is to preach, Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, Paul talked about receiving a ministry. If a man has a ministry, he receives it. He don't take this calling upon himself. He doesn't take this task to himself. This is something that's put upon him. It's not something that, you know, that he just says, one day I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to go off to preacher school and I'm going to enter the ministry. You don't go off to seminary and come back as a preacher. That's not the way it's done. When you find in the scriptures, everybody that was called a priest, Paul said, as I receive this ministry, you receive it. And I know that several things about a preacher that God calls him. First thing, he renounces the hidden things of dishonesty. He renounces this idea that, you know, we're going to sneak up on man's blind side. We're going to preach works and grace together. We're going to preach grace in one place. We're going to preach law someplace else. We're going to preach whatever needs to be preached to get folks on our side wherever we may be. We're going to preach till we find out what folks agree with us about, and then that's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to try to get on the folks' side that's got plenty of money and leave off the poor folks. We renounce those things. We're not interested in those things. We're not walking in craftiness. We're not trying to sneak up on anybody, not trying to entrap anybody, not trying to get anybody to, you know, one of the things that they tell you about soul winning. When you're getting ready to give an invitation, you said you don't never say in conclusion, because they know that folks are getting ready to set themselves against being invited. So don't never say in conclusion, because if you do, folks go, they're getting ready to give an invitation. So we renounce that craftiness. But here's what we do. We manifest the truth, commending ourselves. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I commend myself this morning to your conscience in the sight of God, whether I'm preaching the gospel or not, whether I'm preaching the truth or not. Amen. And if our gospel be hid, if it's hid to your conscience, hid to your mind, hid to your understanding, hid to the place that you cannot grasp it and get a hold of it, it's because you're lost. It's because you lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest unless that glorious gospel of Christ, and Christ is the image of God, should shine unto them, that light of Christ should come in their hearts, should come in their minds. And that's why he says, for that's why we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves nothing but your service for Jesus' sake. For it's God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that hath shined in our hearts. And when he shined in our hearts, he gave the light, the revelation, the understanding of the knowledge of God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about what is the preacher's message. What is he to preach? You know, when you read books, you read articles on preaching, there's multitudes of books and articles on preaching. But very little is about Christ or preaching Christ. They have books on expository preaching. Articles about expository preaching, which is the best kind of preaching. It really is. And then there's books on relevant preaching. We got to preach what's relevant. Relevant for our time. Relevant for the congregation. Relevant for the condition that people are. Relevant for the age. And they have books on preaching with power. Books on how to conduct yourself in the pulpit. How to stand. And they've got books on preparation to preach. But with all of that, if you don't have the right content, what difference does it make? You've got to have the right content. And there are some that believe that Christ should not be the sole focus of preaching. That other subjects demand equal treatment. Especially when it comes to preaching to believers. But others think it's so obvious that Christ must be preached that we don't even need to say it. But how little of preaching Christ is practiced. And all your years of attending services before you come to hear the gospel, and you go to funerals and you go other places and you hear people talking about their religion, how little of Christ is talked about. How little of Christ people are concerned about. They're concerned about how they live. They're concerned about their marriages. They're concerned about how the church is doing. But how little is concerned about Christ? Now let me take you. So Paul said here, we preach not ourselves. Let me give you three meanings of the word preaching here. First of all, it means to tell good news. And we got good news to tell. We got the best. You know, Isaiah said it like this. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that publisheth glad tidings of good things, that preacheth good things, saying unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And oh, beloved, we got good news. And good news for one class of people. For sinners. People in need. And not only that, but it means to herald or proclaim. When you herald something or proclaim something, you know it's like when you go to a big shindig, you know. We was at the baby contest yesterday. We was pretty babies, pretty boys and all that. And every time they'd bring a baby out, they'd herald the baby's name. Mom and daddy's name, proclaim the mom, and that's what it is. It means to herald the name of Christ. It means to proclaim the name of Christ. It means to say Christ is here. Christ has come. Christ is in the gospel. Christ is in the scripture. And it means to herald or proclaim. And this, thirdly, it means to tell thoroughly. Preaching means to tell thoroughly. And oh, beloved, look, I want you to see with me over here in Galatians 1:23. And not only preaching is to preach the faith. It's to preach the faith. It's to preach the word. Look with me quickly here in Galatians chapter 1:23. And preaching is the faith. It's preaching the faith. It's preaching the word. It's preaching the kingdom. And Paul said over here about preaching, you know, here he says, here I preach Christ Jesus the Lord. But look what he says here about him here in Galatians 1:23. When we talk about preaching the faith. But they that heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. The faith, beloved, here he's talking about is the gospel, the objective faith, the things that we believe. The content of the gospel, Christ in his person. And that's why Paul says he went confirming the souls of them, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now we know what our faith is. People say, what's your faith? Baptist, Presbyterian. That's not what we talk about when we're talking about the faith.
No, sir.
When Paul's talking about the faith, he's talking about the content of what we believe. Who do we believe? Why do we believe him? Why do we believe and trust Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What did he come to do? Why did he come to do it? Where is he now? To whom are we trusting our souls to? Why are we doing it? So there's a faith, an objective faith that he's talking about that we believe. An objective faith that we can set out and give a reason of our hope.
Yeah.
I can stand before God today and before you and give a reason of my hope that when I go into eternity, I'll be received and accepted of God. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about the faith here. And then, beloved, the word. Preaching is not only the faith, but the word and the kingdom. Now, beloved, there are 67 references that speak of preaching, either the gospel or Christ Jesus. 67 of them. reference. It said preaching either the gospel or Jesus Christ. And oh, beloved, that's what he said over here in 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's why the God of this world has blinded the mind. And that's why it's called the glorious gospel of Christ, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in preaching the faith, in preaching the word, in preaching the kingdom, all of them relate to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the object of our faith. Is that not right? There are people who the object of their faith is their faith. The object of their faith is in the profession they made. The object of their faith is an experience that they had. The object of their faith is that I can take you to the time and I can take you to the place. But Christ is the object of our faith. And I mean, I looked to Him yesterday, I'm going to look to Him today. I'm not going to trust in any experience I've had. I'm not going to trust in one today. I'm not going to trust in one tomorrow. I looked to Him yesterday. I'm going to look to Him today. And God helping me, I'm going to look to Him until I see Him face to face.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. He's the object of our faith. And not only that, but He's the subject of the Word. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, when He says, "In the beginning, God said." And Christ was the Word by which God created this world. He was the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. He was the blood shed and the covering that covered Adam and Eve. All the way to Revelation 22, 21, He said, "Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus." I mean, He's the content and subject of the Word. And then when we preach the kingdom, we're preaching Christ as the ruler of the kingdom, the king of the kingdom. Not a coming king in some millennial age way out in the future here, but Christ is on His throne right now, ruling with all power and authority. I mean, every soul is subject unto Him to do with them as He pleases. He's the king right now. And all beloved... Whenever the New Testament identifies the subject of preaching, that subject is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. Always. And thank God I run across a preacher one day told me that. And God used him. And I'll tell you, let me tell you a little bit about the consequences of not preaching Christ. You know, only preaching Christ has authority from the Scriptures. That's why most preachers don't have any authority. They're not preaching anybody that has any authority. They're preaching a one-legged, a one-armed Jesus. A helpless, impotent nobody. And beloved, if you don't preach Him as He is, then you have no authority in your preaching. You're always making suggestions or implications. And things like that, but beloved, if you don't look, now keep 2 Corinthians. Look with me in John 5:39, just a moment. John 5:39. You know, this is why we have authority. This is why we love preaching the gospel. The authority is not in the preaching. The authority is in the Word. It's in Christ. And if you know what your content is and you know what your message is, you don't have to back up from anybody. Huh? And here in John 5:39, our Lord Jesus Christ said to him here, it says, "Search the Scriptures." Go through the Scriptures. Now what Scriptures is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The New Testament hasn't been written yet. You go back to the Old Testament and you search them. You search Moses. Moses wrote to me. To him all the prophets give witness. He says, you go back and you search them Scriptures. Because you look at them and you say, I've got eternal life. He said, you think you do? You believe you do? Well, you go back there then and you search them and see if what you see when you look into them, if they're talking about me.
Yes, sir.
See if they're talking about me. It's like our Lord Jesus Christ told so to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered to enter into His glory as it is written in the Psalms and in the prophets and in Moses concerning me? And oh, beloved, failing to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, we rob God of His glory. And oh my, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And oh, beloved, failing to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, we take God and take His glory away from Him. God's glory, He vested it in His Son. He put all of His eggs in one basket. That's why He says He revealed the glory of God. Wrapped in the person of Jesus Christ. He was the image of the invisible God. The brightness of His glory. And oh my, when we take Christ and don't proclaim Him, God's glory does not shine at all. And our hearers are deprived of spiritual food. Look there in John 6:35-30 with me just a moment. And you as God's dear children, God's blessed children of God, they're deprived of spiritual food. I remember here 3 or 4 years ago, a dear brother of mine. And a lot of people, they got him a new preacher. This preacher supposed to preach the gospel. And after about 3 or 4 months, his own kids come to him and said to him, says, "Man, I'm about to starve to death." About to starve to death. Said, "Well, I thought it was just me." And come to find out, they all about to starve to death on this fellow's preaching. He had some good doctrine. But he said that's what it was. He said he'd talk about doctrine, but he never did talk about a person. They'd been used to hearing about a person and their relationship to a person, being fed from the table of grace with justification and righteousness and grace free and full in Christ. Talking about Christ being the head of the body and them members that are being joined to Him and oh my, the guy, I just went on and on. They finally all just said, "Daddy, let's just go." Said, "I can't live on this corn husk." And a bunch of them left. They said, "Man, I'm starving to death. Starving to death." The fellow said to me, "What do you think about him?" I said, "You know, you're the one that has to listen to him, not me." No. But look here, that's what I'm saying. We don't want God's people to starve to death. Look here in verse 30, John 6. Look what our Master said here. "They said therefore unto Him, what sign showest Thou then that we may see and believe Thee? What doest Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." You going to give us some manna like they did in the desert? "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven." You going to give us a sign like that? "Our Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses didn't give you that bread." Moses had nothing to do with giving you that bread. "But my Father, Moses, the law cannot feed you." Moses can't give you no bread. He can't give you nothing. "Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God," bread of God, you see that? The bread of God is He. Not manna, He.
Yes, sir.
"Which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Oh my, this is what I say. "Lord, evermore give me this bread." And our Lord said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I'm satisfied with Him. I'm not looking for bread no place else. Are you? And oh, beloved, we can and we will, by God's blessed grace, proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament as well as from the New. Isaiah, our Lord said Himself. Let me just tell you some things our Lord said about Himself in the New Testament. He said, "Isaiah saw my glory."
Yes, my faith.
And this is what He said. He told Nicodemus, He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I've got to be lifted up." He said, "Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day and was so glad." Jonah, y'all want a son? You know about Jonah. He went down in that well, stayed down there 3 days and 3 nights. He said, "That's what I'm going to do." That's what I'm going to do. And all, beloved, we should only preach the Lord Jesus. You know, some people say, "Oh, this is for consequences, not preaching Christ." Some say we should only preach Christ to the unconverted. Believers don't need him preached to them. Oh my. What would I have to say this morning? I know preachers that they have evangelistic services, one service on Sunday, and then a message for the church, the other service. I don't know what that has to do with evangelistic service, one service, then a service for the church. How are you going to separate the message, Brad? How are you going to do that? Oh, my. They say lots of other things we need to know. We need to know some other things. We need to disciple people. Well, let me tell you something. I ain't never made a disciple. I've never won a soul. And it's not my responsibility. You know what you need to know? God will teach you. That's my responsibility to preach Christ to you, and He'll teach you what you need to know. They say, let's move on to higher, deeper things. Let's get into prophecy. Let's get into some prophecy. Let's get into the deep things of God. Let's get into more spiritual things. Well, let me ask you, who is higher than the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on His throne, sitting in His glory? Where's the Lord at, the old black preacher said. Where is He at? He's in His glory. That's where He's at. What message is deeper than Christ? He's God. He inhabited eternity. He said He was on earth and in the heaven. He said, I'm in heaven and earth at the same time, He said in John chapter 2. How can He be here and there at the same time? I tell you how He can. He's God. And He's man. Huh?
Amen.
Oh my. Can you be more spiritual than being united to Christ? Than knowing Christ? Paul said, I want to know Christ. I want to win Christ. I want to be found in Christ. And when it's all said and done, when I went to glory, that'll be my prize. Christ is my prize now. I want to win Him. People want to win crowns and want to wear stars. I want Christ. I want to know Him. I don't want to just know some things about Him. I mean, He walks and talks with His people. You can hear His voice.
Amen.
Hearing His voice in every line. I want to be found when God looks at me and sees you and sees this body of believers, and He looks down on us. He sees Christ and us found in Him.
Amen.
Sheltered in Him, buried in Him, lost in Him, consumed in Him. That's what I want us to be. Old timers and Puritans were bad for this. Old-timers and some today say the law, what it does is sends us to the gospel that we might be justified. We go to Calvary to get justified, go to the cross to be justified, and then the gospel turns around and sends us back to the law to tell us how to live. Don't believe that for a minute. Don't believe that for a minute. I don't want nothing to do with the law. Christ is done dealt with it for me. What does the Scripture say? Are we to preach the gospel to the unsaved and the law to believers? Look here over here in Romans 8:4 with me just a moment. Look at this with me. Oh my. You know, that's why Christ was made a curse. Galatians 3:13. While you turn over, let me quote this to you. Christ was made a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ was made a curse for us, to redeem us, to buy us out from under the bondage and the condemnation and the guilt of God's holy law. Romans 8:4 says this, verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, our old fallen nature. Look what God did. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, as a sacrifice for sin, He condemned it, He judged it, He put away sin in His own flesh, on the body, on the tree. And He done this that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law.
Yes.
And you know the righteousness of the law means that you keep the law from the day you're born to the day you die. That God looks at you and says, love me. I do. Do you with your heart? I do. With all your soul? I do. With all your strength? I do. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? I do. You don't covet? I don't. Commit adultery? Never have. Told a lie? Never have I told a lie. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Now watch this. We're not walking after the flesh. That flesh ain't contributed one iota to our salvation. But what are we doing? We're walking after Christ and what the Holy Spirit tells us in His Word. Now my experience tells me something else. But boy, faith right now is telling me everything I say. This is so, this is real. This is it. And Romans 10:4 says this, Christ is the end. Of the law. What for? For righteousness. Oh, when you know, if you've ever been someplace and you pull in somewhere and it says, dead end. Dead end. No way out. And then that's what Christ is. He's the dead end of the law. He's the end of it. He's the fulfillment of it. He's the goal of it. And that, as the end of it, He's our righteousness. Not to anybody that does, but he that believes. Ain't that right? Huh? And look over here with me in Hebrews 12. Where does the Word tell us to look? It don't never, ever tell us to look to the law. And I have had some conversation with lots of people over this law business. Lots and lots of conversations and had folks to leave and quit coming around because of this law business. They want the law, or they're welcome to it. We're not going to have it by God's grace. But where does the word tell us to look? Tell us to trust. Look what it says here in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. What does else this say? He's the author. He's the one who begins our faith. You know, I like certain authors, and I look for certain books. They start a book and they finish it. Christ said He begins our faith. He gives it to us. He produces it in us. He makes Himself the object of it. Watch what it says here. And the finisher of it. He starts the book and He ends the book. He which has begun a good work in you, He'll finish it. Ain't that what it says? Oh, not only that, but look what He says. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. And oh, beloved, look what He says here. For consider Him. Study Him. Ponder Him. Concentrate on Him. Give Him full attention. Full attention. Now, what happens when we preach Christ, when we preach the gospel, what happens? We'll look over here in 2 Corinthians with me just a moment. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. What happens when we preach the gospel? What happens? There's something happens every time we preach the gospel. Henry Mahan's got a message he preached years and years ago on a trail of life and death. Wherever the preacher goes, he leaves behind him a trail of life and death. Yeah. And that's what Paul's saying here. Look here in verse 12 with me. 2 Corinthians 2:12. He says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me of the Lord." He came to Troas, what did he say, to preach Christ's gospel? A door was opened unto me. He said, "I had no press. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." Now look what he says. "Now thanks be unto God, which always, always causes us to triumph." Where at? In Christ. Not in the church, not in denomination, not in our works, not in our resolutions, not in our resolve, but triumph in Christ. Now watch this. "And makes manifest the savor." That word savor means a fragrance. "The savor, the fragrance of His knowledge by us in every place we go." Every place we go. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of life unto life, who's sufficient for these things." And what Paul's saying here is that the preaching of Christ causes a fragrance. Causes a sweet smelling fragrance. You remember when Mary took and she broke that alabaster box of ointment and anointed Christ's body for His burying? In the last, I think it's Mark 15 maybe, you can read about that. She opened that. And everybody that was in that room, everybody's in that room, was blessed by that fragrance. I mean, they smelled the fragrance of that alabaster box of ointment. But there was one in that room, and it was a sweet smelling savor, but there was one in that room who says, "This should have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor." One feller did not like the smell of that Christ being prepared for His burial. One didn't like it. It's a Judas. And there's always somebody who don't like the fragrance of Christ. That was a savor of death unto him. That was a savor of death unto him. But in the knowledge of Christ, in us making Christ known, to the saved and to the unsaved, the fragrance, first of all, watch what it says there in verse 15, "We are unto God a sweet savor in Christ." The first fragrance is it goes to God Himself. When we preach Christ, the fragrance rises to God. That's the first place it rises. That's why we preach for the glory. The first thing when you're preaching Christ, it's a sweet smelling fragrance to God. It's like that altar of incense, that golden altar that stood before the holiest of holies, right before the veil. That thing just continually burnt and offered that incense that burned up and went up to God. Representing the prayers of Christ. You see, preaching the Lord Jesus is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Whether men accept it, whether men receive it or not, it's an act of worship.
Amen.
And God is pleased. He's pleased in proclaiming His Son. You know, and I won't have you look at this. Well, let us look at it. We got plenty of time. Well, look over here in John 5 with me just a moment. John 5. God is pleased in the proclaiming of His Son. Old Simon Peter said, "Lord, let's make us three tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for You." What did he say? God spoke from heaven. God Himself, when He said that, said, "Simon Peter, you thick-headed, cold-hearted, hopping off preacher." He said, "This is my beloved Son. You listen to Him." Moses, that's who he talked about. And that's who Elijah was preaching about. And look what he said here in John 5:22. Talking about God's pleased in the proclaiming of His Son. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now we see all these judges, you know, they sit on the bench and they sit there to judge, and everybody says, "Your Honor." And that fella sitting on the bench, he's got all the power, he's got all the authority. He can tell somebody, "Sit down, shut up," and he can hold them in contempt. He's the judge. "Your Honor." Well, God said here, "My Son is the judge. I've put everything in Him. I've committed everything to Him." And He said, "I'll tell you what, if you honor Him, always honor Him. Honor Him with your words, honor Him with your life, honor Him with your thoughts, honor Him with your actions, honor Him with your deeds, honor Him with your message, honor Him with your heart. Honor Him." And He says, "You know what you'll do when you do that? You'll be honoring Me too." But if you don't, you don't even honor the Father to see Him. Oh my. And that's why, beloved, we're going to honor Him in our speech, our service, our worship. And don't you love to hear Christ honored? Isn't He a sweet fragrance to you? Isn't He a sweet fragrance to you? I know He is to me. When I'm by myself, you know, I need Him. I'll tell you right here before all of you. I absolutely need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need Him. There's nobody weaker among you than me. But isn't He a sweet fragrance? And He's our hiding place. Let me close with Isaiah 32. Since we ain't going to give an altar call in conclusion. I ain't going to sneak up on you. In conclusion, look here in Isaiah 32. He's our hiding place. Look what it says. Oh, what a blessed place for us to be. And He says there, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." And watch this. "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind." When that old cold wind's blowing, or that hot wind's blowing, making you wither, that old dry wind that dries everything out, and then there's a tempest, there's a covert, and a covert, you know, is this place to get in, and a covert from the tempest, and the tempest is going to come. It's going to come through your children, it's going to come through your husbands, it's going to come through death, it's going to come through trials, it's going to come. Tempest, oh, the tempest is going to come, and it's going to just whirl around, throw you around, and beat you, and worry you, and beat you down. And oh, beloved, as rivers of water in a dry place. You ever come in here and you ever felt like your life was just so dry and lifeless? Your heart was dry, your mind was dry, your soul was dry. You say, "Oh Lord, I'm so dry." But He's as rivers of water in that dry place. And oh my, you're going through this old weary land. I sure would love to have a shadow sit down in. Well, sit down. He's that great rock. Just sit down. And watch what happens here now. And the eyes of them that see, they won't be dim anymore. You'll see clearly. And the ears of them that hear, they're going to say, "Oh, I hear. I hear. Oh." What is our message? What we need. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father. Oh, gracious, gracious Father. Thank You for meeting with us today. Thank You for Your gospel. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You that You taught us the gospel, that You taught us what it is to trust Christ, to bring us to the place where we trust Him, we need Him, and we look to Him. And Father, I know that there's some here today in their heart of hearts who've never confessed Christ. They've done what we talked about today. They looked to Him. They needed Him. They said, "Yes, He's the object of my faith." And I want to hide in Him. I want to find assurance in Him. And Lord, only You can give that. Only You can give that rest to the heart. Only You can give that peace. Only You can give that assurance. And I pray that You'd give it. God bless and strengthen you, dear saints, here today. We thank You for Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn to 356 in our hymn book. We'll stand and sing this. And then you'll be at liberty to go. 356. No. 256. 258. 258. I'll get it right in a minute. 258.